This is Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
A window to the Latin universe.
Stanford 90.1 FM.
Radio Atenea Americana.
This is
Atenea Americana.
Bilingual house of culture on the air and online.
Radio Atenea Americana.
Su casa de la cultura en la radio y online.
Para la radio 90.1 KCSU Stanford.
I am Isabel Jubes.
Isabel Jubes. Bienvenidos.
Atenea Americana.
Welcome. Bienvenidos.
From Stanford to the world.
Today, we will be talking with Dr. Piero Scaruffi. He is the organizer of some very interesting events where all scientists, engineers, mathematicians, entrepreneurs, artists, and musicians are invited to share and reach to each other. These events took part this October at Stanford, but are also recurrent in other Bay Area universities as well as other campuses around the country. We invite you to research and take part of this type of cultural interdisciplinary exchange. To learn more, stay with us and listen to our conversation with cognitive science, mathematician, and music critique, but also event organizer Piero Scaruffi. Stay with us. And remember that this and all our shows are available at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org. Thank you for joining us today here in Atenea Americana from Stanford University. And today our guest is Piero Scaruffi. He is organizing these amazing events at Stanford this weekend, starting tonight. They are called LASER and LAST, and they are actually acronyms. And they really stand for something super interesting. So let's let him explain us a little bit more about it. Hello. How are you? Thank you for coming here.
Thank you for inviting me. So first of all, maybe we should clarify what those words mean. Yes. Laser is not the thing that engineers use. It's not the things you see in science fiction movies. Laser stands for Leonardo Art Science Evening Rendezvous. And they've been going on for a long time, since 2008. And now they happen in 14 universities, even beyond the United States, even in Europe and in Canada. And they're very simple. There's four speakers every evening, 20 minutes each, on very different topics, And the thing that is happening this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the LAST festival. That's LAST means Life, Art, Science, Technology. And that's the third edition. So that's the lasers have been going on for a long time, and they happen every other month in many places. The LAST festival is a new baby. This is the third edition. It's the first time we do it at Stanford University.
And LASER one is a little bit like a tech talk.
A lot of people think of tech talk. It's the difference that I put four speakers together in the same evening, and I force them to be in the same evening when there are speakers of totally different discipline. So it is typical that they would ask me, why am I in this program? But that's the whole point. I mean, that's the whole point, actually.
It's a multidisciplinary encounter.
And a lot of people in the audience just look at the program. Like tonight we have two distinguished scientists, and they look at the program. Oh, I want to hear this mathematician, or I want to hear this computer scientist. And they come just for that one, but I sort of force them to listen to the others, you know, and the others are artists and musicians and whatever. And the best reward for me is when they leave the room and somebody tells me, you know what, I came for this speaker. I didn't know that there's this other very interesting thing going on in the world. But that's the whole point of the lasers to give you a broader picture. Mm-hmm. So to make you understand that there's actually a lot of things going on, and especially in the Bay Area. Bay Area is famous for creativity, but it's not creativity only in your field. It's creativity in so many different fields.
Yeah, and the name is perfect because it comes, you know, it's Leonardo, so it brings you to the idea of Leonardo da Vinci, which is a great artist and scientist. And
right, so Leonardo is the one you think of when you think art and science, and it's the name of the umbrella organization, Leonardo ISAST, International Society for the Art, Science and Technology. They're the one who coordinate all the lasers around the world.
Mm-hmm. And how these talks go? Do they make the scientists open more about art and the artists open more about science? They have to have some relationship with the other fields, or they just come and give their point of view?
Well, like tonight, the mathematician is somebody who will have a lot of interesting pictures because it deals with Escher. So, you know, that kind of approach to math. And we had another great mathematician from Stanford gave a talk about linear algebra, and then there were all these amazing pictures that artists go, wow, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the connection is obvious, you know. You realize that it's not just, no disciplines exist in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the scientist comes, gives his talk, goes away, and it doesn't really. So that really depends on the person. Mm-hmm. But to me, the focus is really on the audience. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice to have more younger people, because those are the people who are being, right now they are forced to become very specialistic, you mm-hmm. know, specialist in whatever field. And so to me, the focus is more on the audience, in making the audience understand that there is more in life than just the one thing that you have to study to mm-hmm. graduate or that you have to do every day to get your salary.
And what about the weekend shows? You told me something about digital humans.
There's a lot of, this is really intense. The first last festival happened last year in San Jose. It was an experiment. It went very well. They forced me to do the second one because they said the name Last Festival brings bad luck. So you have to do at least the second. So we did the second one in a hurry. It wasn't as big. And this third one, it took quite a while to prepare it. And this is way bigger than anything I've done before because it kept growing and there was more and more interest. So there's an art section. So the big difference with the lasers, in the lasers, the artists speak, but they don't show, they don't physically exhibit. And at the last festival, the lobby of the Cabelli Auditorium will have all these art pieces. And I have nothing against painting and sculpture, but the last festival is really specifically about the interaction with the science and technology. So these mm-hmm. are, I call it high-tech art. Some people call it digital art. Some people emphasize interactive. Call it the way you like. You know, mm-hmm. it's not the typical art you see in a museum. The easiest way for me to make the difference is that in the museum, there's this big sign, do not touch. Mm-hmm. At the last festival, you're supposed to touch. You know, you're supposed to interact with the art. Then on Saturday afternoon, I invited five of the top speakers, top scientists in the Bay Area on five disciplines that I personally think are the disciplines that are shaping the new century. There are many, but these are five that in my opinion are particularly important. Mm-hmm. Synthetic biology, artificial intelligence, nanotech, neuroscience, and space exploration. So we have one scientist for each of these, and it's one of the top scientists in the Bay Area. So that's a rare occasion. And some people say, oh, this is just the greatest hits of the lasers. Well, mm-hmm. maybe. If you want to see it that way, see it that way. And then on Sunday, there's a series of panels and talks that examine how these new technologies and sciences are affecting our life. And I say our life because friends tell me, don't say mind, say just life. But actually, I'm more interested now, it's changing, physically changing our mind, the way we think, not only the way we behave.
Yeah, now that we can see more how the brain develops and how it changes with the things that we do, it's easier to prove how these things actually affect people.
Oh, I think there's a huge, I mean, it's always been in the history of civilization, technology and science have always had an impact on the way we think. Just imagine the invention of writing mm-hmm. changed the way we use memory. We can't memorize Homer's poems. In India, they have poems that are incredibly long. In the old days, they didn't have writing, they had to memorize these things. Very few people knew how to read and write. And so that has been going on ever since, except today, of course. The impact, the acceleration is stronger, right? So there definitely, it's lots of studies that show the effect on children, teenagers, adults, everybody, you know? And so that's fascinating. And then, some of the things are not so obvious. Like we have somebody talking about the cyber currency. I think, well, okay, that's one thing. Well, but actually, if you abandon money, That's a big difference in life, in the way you think about transaction of goods. Mm-hmm. And we have somebody talking on technology and education. You know, education is going to change dramatically from the way it was just 20, 30 years ago. Then we have a panel on robots and people, how robots and people can and should coexist. You know, we're all scared about the drones. I don't know if you saw the letter, open letter signed by 1,000 scientists, the warning again that they, you know, these intelligent machines could be used
and
for
a lot of big names,
right, and a lot of big names signed that letter. But robots should be friendly. It should be, you know, should be buddies, not enemies. And then we have the final panel. I invited one of the co-founders of Burning Man and one of the founders of Zeman. They're both you know, people from the counterculture, from the underground, you know, how you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you hear those people very often at Stanford. So this is a chance to have also a confrontation between the super high-tech, technologically advanced world and, you know, that world that actually is trying to build a completely different society.
Which is also very active in the Bay Area.
Yeah, absolutely.
They just had an event 2 days ago in San Francisco, I think.
Oh, it's always been. I mean, from the 50s, the beat poets, the 60s, the hippies, then the punks, and then the raves, and so on. And they're also using technology. They're not anti-technologists. Mm-hmm. It's just they have a completely different view of what technology should do for us, you know? It shouldn't be just like the internet has become a big advertising tool. Mm-hmm. Or worse, a surveillance tool. And then they have a different view of what you should do with technology.
And today we're talking with Piero Scarusi about the events Laser and Last at Stanford.
There have been for some time this knowledge and interaction for many connecting math and art, you know, Fibonacci or Escher, as you say. But is there even more change now that the digital and the technology is on the mix?
Yeah, I think there should be. And one simple reason, actually, the first speaker tonight is a speaker on big data. And I want to hear what he talks about big data. With big data, like, computers can do a lot of analysis, but you just can't visualize it. We are used that whatever data you have, eventually you visualize it. That's why Descartes invented the diagram. That's why we have all these pie charts, and eventually visualize. Mm-hmm. But when you have billions and billions and billions of data changing, you know, every second, how do you visualize it? Mm-hmm. And that's when the connection with the art comes into play, except most people think of art as, you know, the painting at the Louvre. Mm-hmm. So art is going to be something different, but I think it can be extremely useful.
More Bauhaus, everything is art.
Exactly, everything is art, ultimately. Yeah. Also the definition of tool is going to change. We have design for tools, but now we have digital tools, we have virtual tools, we have tools that exist not in the physical world, but in the virtual world. Those also need to be designed.
Yeah. Great, and it's basic for communication. How do you translate to people very complex data that you just found, but it works for nothing if you don't actually tell it to somebody else, so somebody else can work with it and just, you know, keep moving the ball somewhere. Yeah,
that's actually a very good point, because that's another reason why I mix art and science, and mix within art and science I mix different disciplines. You know, I am terrified by the gap we have created between disciplines. Mm-hmm. You know, that to me is just so not human, you know. And so communication has reached an all-time low, actually. In the age where we have social networking, there were 1 billion people on Facebook, 500 million on WeChat, whatever. But actually communication is so superficial, because you have your job, I have my job, and they're so different. We have become so specialists in our things.
And this society actually go for the specialists. If I'm going to hire somebody to do this, I want somebody that has been doing just this for the last 20 years.
Right.
I don't want somebody who knows many things and can can shine at this.
Yeah, and I can give you a long story. It starts with, actually with the Middle Ages, but most people identify with the Industrial Revolution. And there's a reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, a society of specialists can be very efficient, the society as a whole. Mm-hmm. The problem is you. Your brain is way underutilized if you become the greatest plumber in the world, but you don't know anything about what's happening in Syria. And when you walk into a museum, you can't recognize anything. You understand why are these things hanging on the wall. So at the individual level, I think it's a big loss if you become a specialist and that's all you have in life, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's typical that people, when they retire, that's the moment when they realize, oops, I spent my life doing one thing, mm-hmm. and now I want to understand what's everything else around the world. And it's been getting more and more difficult, and I don't like that. You know, it's so difficult to understand physics. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. So difficult to understand why is that thing a piece of art? And it shouldn't be, you know?
Why is an art? My kid could draw that. Well, not really.
Yeah, so the gap between disciplines. Forget the gap between art and science, but even within science, even within physics, even within, you know, quantum physics, you find a specialist who has trouble communicating with another specialist in a very similar field. Personally, I don't like that. I make my little contribution to communicate, to make these different fields communicate.
Exactly, because that's part of the human knowledge. What does it work really for humanity if you found out this big new thing, but you keep it to yourself or you are unable to tell somebody else about it?
It's the typical problem that you see the tree in front of you and you know everything about the tree in front of you. You know every piece of bark and you know every worm in that bark, but you don't know that there is a forest. And I think we miss something also as society, actually. Society can be very efficient at producing a billion iPhones a year, I don't know how many. But that's not everything that there is to society. There's big problems that we cannot solve without doing interdisciplinary research. The scary thing is that if you ask me the next question, when does humanity get together in interdisciplinary projects? Unfortunately, wars. You think World War II, a lot of the things invented in World
That's
War II
right.
were actually interdisciplinary projects. Yeah. But do we really have to wait for a war before we get together and communicate?
I know, and technology have been developing very fast every time there is a war, or because of wars, they just get together and develop all these great things, horrible things that later on, well, but we can also use it for this other thing, and we can also feed all these people, we can also do other things.
Yeah, the good news, I think there is more and more awareness in academia. The MIT Media Lab is an obvious reference point. But even at Stanford, the lasers, I'm pleased to say, they're now sponsored by three different schools. Three deans got together to sponsor the lasers.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
which are?
That's Dean of Research, Dean of Humanities and Sciences, and the Dean of Engineering.
Nice.
And that's a good sign. You know, these are three different schools that cooperate on something. I also indirectly contribute to the Stanford schools to communicate more, you know, and interact more.
And you started as a mathematician.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And then you move a little bit towards the communication part of the science and then towards the art too.
Well, I back in high school, I had my own life, music reviews. On the web, there's still a lot of people know me mainly for my music reviews. Then I started writing about cinema and literature and so on. So that was my hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And then real life, studied math, then physics, and then I became a software engineer. I came to the United States in the 80s because of the personal computer boom, then I went through the dot-com boom, internet, and so on and so on. And artificial intelligence was really the big thing for me. And so I had this life in computers, and then I had a life in art and science, art and music.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I guess now I'm trying to put the two together.
That's great. And artificial intelligence is a very open field for art.
Oh, artificial intelligence is a huge story. I think there's a little bit of exaggeration on what we can do today, but certainly that's a field where there's a lot to talk about. One of the speakers on Saturday is Peter Norvig from Google, who you know, one of the greatest specialists in this field.
Mm-hmm. Great. And what have you learned from other lasers?
Yeah, that's a question people ask me. They say, I just wrote an article actually for an art magazine where they were asking one of these questions. It's really hard to answer. It's you know, it's like asking a teenager while she's growing up, asking, so how does it feel to grow up as a teenager? It's, you know it 20 years later. So from the point of view of, of doing lasers and last festival, I just started. It's really hard to tell what I learned. I mean, it's in specific, so one thing, definitely there's an audience for this. There's a lot of people who like what I do. Actually, I'm very flattered by many of the emails I get. So there's people who, this was missing, okay? Mm-hmm. This was missing. I find it really fascinating that sometimes the people who are very interested are both the very advanced scientists and the very rebellious counterculture kind of people. Okay, so that's also interesting that the two extremes actually think it's good to have an interdisciplinary thing. Unfortunately, I also learned that it's very difficult. I mean, mm-hmm. there is definitely resistance. Resistance comes mainly from the fact people don't have time. Mm-hmm. They're specialists who spend 10 hours a day on their specialty. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard for these people, even if ideologically they agree. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for them to talk to somebody from another school or to try to spend more time. You know, they a lot of people come to the laser, they walk out very excited, but then they don't follow up. You know, mm-hmm. so I learned that some encouraging things, some less encouraging things. I am encouraged myself by the fact that I hear more and more people telling me, well, this high school is doing something similar and this university is doing something similar. And you know, places like Media Lab are exploding, they're getting bigger and bigger. So, I mean, we are not an island. There's definitely, you know, much bigger community trying to do these things.
And have you been involved with the laser just in United States?
I personally run the San Francisco, the Berkeley and the Stanford series, personally. Mm-hmm. Then I have two very good friends who run it at UC Davis and Santa Cruz, Los Angeles, and then the one at the National Academy of Science in Washington, D.C. was started independently by J.D. Talasek, who is director of public programs there, and he's now a good friend. And so then it's really delegated to somebody else. Then you know, and any mm-hmm. university is welcome to come up and say, hey, I want to run a laser series. Great, mm-hmm. you know.
Great. And it seems like a great idea, and a lot of people thought or have been moving or waiting for something like this for some time. But do you think that this complication between to communicate between these fields has something cultural to do with it? Like, I mean, may have been other cultures, I don't know, like Italians are very good for aesthetics, applying aesthetics and things, maybe Japanese, also the design and everything and all the things.
Oh, that's a difficult question, I think. But definitely the Bay Area should be one of the places where these discussions are easier. Because if you go back, you know, to me, I just gave a series of lectures in China, which, by the way, is a place where they're very interested in these topics. And my lectures always start from 1971, the microprocessor is invented, and Santa Clara Valley gets to be called Silicon Valley, okay? Mm-hmm. That's where it starts.
Yeah.
But what was there before? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, one thinks, oh, there was already electronics, there was already money. No. You know, if you go to the 60s, even worse, you go to the 50s, there wasn't much, you know? All the money was in New York and London, and all the brains were on the East Coast. I mean, and the big electronic companies, you know, General Electric, AT&T, IBM, where were they? Mm-hmm. Not in the Bay Area. So what was there before 1971 in the Bay Area? They really made the Bay Area unique. You know, all the creativity, innovation we talk about. Well, actually, it was a place of crazy artists, crazy musicians, hippies, and God only knows what. I wasn't here. So if there's one place that has seen this marriage mm-hmm. of the artistic mindset mm-hmm. and of the scientific mindset is this one. I also think it's intriguing, actually. I mentioned China. I just came back from there. It's really intriguing that they invited me. And by the way, they treated me like a king there. And I was a little surprised. I mean, mm-hmm. why are you guys interested in me? You know, I'm not a billionaire. I never made money in the software industry. I'm the only one who went through the dot-com boom and didn't make money out of it. So why me? And then I realized that I wrote this book on Silicon Valley where I emphasized precisely that Silicon Valley had this creativity before the electronic industry. Guess what? In China, they love it, actually, because that's what they are trying to do. They have created the best brains in the world to copy us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But now they want to create. Mm-hmm. And they were basically asking me, how did you guys do it? You know, Silicon Valley was similar to China 30 years ago. You know, it's, mm-hmm. there was nothing in terms of technology and startups, all the things that we associate today with the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. So how did you guys do it? Then I realized they were really interested in understanding where does all this creativity and innovation comes from?
Yeah.
And you cannot explain it if you just draw a line, mm-hmm. you know, a line that goes from today back to the past. Because there's a point where you don't have the money, the brains, the electronic companies are just not there in the Bay Area.
That's right.
But the innovation, the creativity is already there, you know, so that's important.
This is Atenea Americana, and I am your host, Isabel Jubes. You may find this and all my shows at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org. This is a bilingual cultural show, bringing you a window to the Latin and Hispanic universe. Every week, for 2 hours, one in English and one in Spanish, from Stanford to the world. You can also be part of this, leaving me your comments, sharing your thoughts, and even more at StanfordHispanicBroadcasting.org. I invite you to be part of this. And today we're talking with Piero Scarusi about the events Laser and Last at Stanford.
That's right. I was just watching these days. They were telling a story about Atari, for example, and that also made me think about other processes, how these companies started to grow in the Bay Area. And there were a lot of hippies who connected few things, and there were drugs involved, and there were freedom, and there were these new environments that were in the typical office, that, you know, skateboards in the office, and all these creative things that help the process.
A lot of the things that we associate with the Bay Area come not from the typical corporate structure. Mm-hmm. Think of the culture of failure. We are so happy that in Bay Area it's okay to fail.
Yes.
You fail once, you fail twice, you fail three times, and your friends go, oh, really? Tell me about it. And they're curious. They're not, you know, in Europe, you probably commit suicide. I mean, it's really bad. In Japan, it's really bad. But in Bay Area, it's okay. That does not came from the big corporations of the 50s and the 60s. Mm-hmm. That comes from the artist kind of mind. If you're an artist, it's almost good that people don't understand your art, because there's this myth, this stereotype of the artist who is not understood when he's alive, but then becomes great, then becomes Dante, Shakespeare, you know, Beethoven.
Van Gogh.
So you see, a lot of this thing, also the startup. The startup is what? In the garage.
Yeah.
Well, that's like the artist studio, you know? It's not the big, super, you know, comfortable lab of IBM. It's a garage. That's very similar to the artist studio. So there's a lot of influence that comes from this other world, and I don't know how to define it. The emphasis on the hippies is too much. Actually, the hippies were not the majority in the Bay Area back then. There were a lot, but and there's many other things. But there's always been this other current, other stream, you know, of innovation there. And that really explains why it happened here. It didn't happen in New York. It didn't happen in London, where there was a lot more money. You know, any investors, the investors of the world would have rather invested in their own city than travel all the way to the Bay Area, to the far west, But this actually area, for a number of reasons that are very long story, maybe it starts with the gold rush, had that kind of crazy attitude towards creating and don't be afraid of doing something new, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference in China. I was in their Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. And I realized all those kids who have startups, there's a lot of startups in Beijing, when they go to the venture capitalists, they have to explain that it has been done before.
Yeah.
Okay. If it has not been done before, it's difficult to get the money.
Exactly.
And then I started realizing, why is it that in the Bay Area it's the opposite? You go to the venture capitalists, the first thing you say, nobody has done this. But isn't that a lot riskier, right?
Exactly.
We take it for granted, but actually, where does that come from?
Who are your competitors? And if they are way too similar to you, you're doomed. You need to have something different, something new.
Yeah, we really reward the original, the independent, the eccentric.
Yeah.
But most cultures actually don't. Most cultures do the opposite. Where does that come from? Mm-hmm. And that does not come from just the physicist or the mathematician or the, worst of all, of the corporate world. It really comes from the artist, the historian, the philosopher, who knows. So you put it together with technology and science, and bang, then you explain why it happened here.
And all these events are also inspiring people to get together and inspiring people to look outside their own little worlds.
Yeah. I have to say, back to your question, what I learned from these events, I mean, it's not surprising that it's artists and musicians who are the ones who bring home more from the Lasers and from the Last Festival. They are the ones who are really very, very keen on understanding what's that guy saying about artificial intelligence. What's that physicist doing with nanotechnology? It's a little harder for a scientist to do the same and say, oh, this artist has actually a great different view on my discipline.
Why do you think is that?
Well, I mean, that's another long story. Scientists and technology people tend to live in a hierarchies. Their reward comes from the hierarchy, from the boss, from going to a specialized conference. The artist, to me, is more like a self-employed person. Mm-hmm. You know, the artist has to figure it out by herself. And then she has to market whatever. In a sense, competition. The artist really has the very strong motivation to do something different and original, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're just copying somebody else, you're
exactly.
nobody. So maybe the artist has more pressure, more of this pressure to be interdisciplinary, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing, actually, that people talk about, that the Bay Area, that the technology has been so successful in the Bay Area that we're kicking out artists. Artists cannot afford the rent that somebody at Google can easily afford.
Yeah, and there are some tech companies in the area where the artists and the designers are more important than their engineers, like Apple.
Yeah, and Autodesk. Autodesk has Pier 9 in San Francisco. There's Apple, absolutely. Adobe, yeah, but there's many. Yeah. I was in Singapore by accident when they introduced the iPod, and I was invited as just an observer at this meeting of big shots in the main design building of Singapore. And it was funny when the big boss walked in fluent English, he put the iPod on the table and asked, "I want somebody to explain to me why our own kids are buying this thing when we meaning Asia, because Singapore, you know, we have cheaper, better, faster, more compatible digital music players, you know, available." And that, to me, was obvious. The iPod looks cool.
Yeah.
He was right. The iPod was overpriced. The first one was not compatible with MP3 and so on and so on. It was right to be upset. But that looks cool.
Yeah.
So, of course, a lot of companies learned the lesson and they are investing more and more in the cool aspect, not just
It has a lot of design behind it. Just that little Apple brings a lot of ideas.
And the other thing I'm hearing from companies that have an artist in residence, that artists are really good at testing a new technology, because the average user would just use like 1%. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, my favorite example is the new operating system. Apple and Microsoft come up with a new operating system. How many of the features you really use?
Yeah,
10%. Exactly. If you are really knowledgeable, 10%. Most of the rest you will never use, right?
Yeah.
But the artist, guess what? Artists, by definition, will do something with that technology that you never imagined. So artists are actually very good at testing your technology and sometimes they're giving you the idea that, oh, this can be used also to do something else, you know?
Mm-hmm. And today, all the software needs to have what they call a graphic interface. They need to be able to communicate to whoever sits in that table so they can use it easily. And that's art. That's design.
Absolutely.
And the human connection between the engineer and the person who is actually going to use it and understand.
Oh, absolutely.
What is flashing or not. Well, thank you very much. We're looking forward to see the everything that you are bringing this weekend, and hope to see you soon also with more of these things. You are doing this every year, once a year?
Well, the lasers, you go to lasertalks.com and you see the whole schedule, you know, it's scheduled, everything fairly organized. And the last festival, well, we do it when we find the right volunteers to do it. There's like 20 volunteers involved, but just doing it passionately. Then it has to be the right time to find the right speakers. So the last festival is a little more complicated, but hopefully once a year, yes. So the website, lastfestival.org and lasertalks.com.
Mm-hmm. And lasertalks.com has all the universities that are doing it.
No, just mine. So just the Bay Area. And the rest, you go to leonardo.info and you find all the others.
All the others that you are also somehow connected to them.
Yeah, we're all cousins here.
Perfect.
Big family.
Great. Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
Sure.
And this was Atenea Americana.
Atenea Americana.
Stanford 90.1 FM.
Radio Atenea Americana.
A window to the Latin universe.
This is
Radio Atenea Americana.
Bilingual house of culture on the air and online.
Su casa de la cultura en la radio y online.
Para la radio 90.1 KCSU Stanford.
I am Isabel Jubes.
Isabel Jubes. Vuelve pronto.
Atenea Americana.
From Stanford to the world.
Remember to come back soon.
Ciao.
See you later.